On today's Compassion Radio.
Many students ran to this place up the hill in search for any place where they can hide. And so they ran to the entrance of this cathedral, and the Orthodox priests or monks, they sensed the situation, and so they received those students and closed the door.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the far corners of Kyiv, Ukraine, to the underground house churches of Havana, Cuba, we're tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome to a brand new week here on Compassion Radio. Bram Floria joins us now in studio. Bram, we've got something really unique to share with our friends today.
Hey, Jimmy, thanks so much for editing this special interview. It's an unusual one because it's kind of a walking discussion. The person you're going to meet in this interview is Oles, and he is a professor and a dean at the Evangelical Seminary there in Ukraine. And this place that we're walking through is the Maidan at the center of Kyiv. Now, it's kind of like a cross between the National Mall and perhaps Times Square in New York City. It's that important to the culture and the history of the people of Ukraine. It also was at the epicenter of most of the big uprisings that have led to the Western inclination of Ukraine in the past 20 years. They really, truly want to join the West, to be part of Europe. And in the process, they've had to rise up against those forces that want to reintegrate Ukraine with Russia. Now, during 2014, as the world was facing the crisis of Russian invasion of Crimea and eastern Ukraine, there was an uprising of the people again. And during the winter, they met together in this place called the Maidan. It's a large, large square. And during that time, it became literally the killing grounds of another generation of patriots. But it was also a place of incredible ministry, as you'll hear about a bit from what Oles has to say about their prayer tent and the ministry they had with people in the Maidan during the siege. Now, it's important for us to understand that this is a walking, living kind of discussion. This is not the best recording we've ever done. And it's hard to get all that in the busy street corners. But between the two of us and a couple of microphones, we did our very best to bring you the story in a lively and living way and to let Oles really tell the story of what it was like to be in the middle of all this and to do the work of saving his country in the name of Jesus. It was something that had never been done before, and I think it's important for us to share that. So, Jim, go ahead and introduce the section of the Walk Through Maidan that you'd like to start with.
Okay, Bram, we're going to start things off today from the point where you turned on the recorder. So, let's get to it.
Okay, Oles, we're walking on top of the hill above the river here in Kyiv. And describe to me about the church that we're standing at and why it was so important in the history of Ukraine, and then how it ties into the story that leads into Maidan.
Yeah, this is St. Michael's Cathedral, one of the ancient church buildings, Orthodox church buildings in Ukraine. Very nice. It is a historical place. It has its feeling. And there is a monastery on its territory as well. And so it's important to our recent history because when the riot police was beating students brutally, instead of leaving them alone, they ran after them. And so the students didn't know where to go, and so they were helpless. And so they just were running the streets of Kyiv away from the riot police, but they ran after them. Many students ran to this place up the hill in search for any place where they can hide.
Right here between all these towers.
Yeah, right there. And so they ran to the entrance of this cathedral, and the Orthodox priests or monks, they sensed the situation, they understood what was going on, and so they received those students and closed the door. Okay. And so when the riot police came to pursue the students, to demand the monks to open the door, they wouldn't open.
And that's the gate we're seeing right in front of us underneath that bell tower.
Yes, yes. Many of the students were already beaten, and so they received them right in the very center of the cathedral. And some students spent the night right on the floor.
In safety.
And yes, for safety, for the sake of safety. And later, this became a field hospital. Mm. Because many were wounded and so on, and so this church served as a field hospital.
Do you have any idea how many of the young people came up the hill to hide?
Dozens.
And so this courtyard between the cathedral and the outer wall, which faces down the river, and this bell tower, how old is this complex, do you think?
Well, you see, on this territory, different buildings, their various age. So they can be from 16th century to 18th century. There were some remainings, like the archaeologists, they found some basement of the ancient building. Yeah, but this particular, I think it was restored, because the communists, they tore down like the church.
So. Really?
Tore it all the way down?
Yeah. So let's approach the main building, church building.
The square seems to be kind of gently falling away from the height of the cathedral. It's almost like an old town square wrapping around it. I imagine it was kind of a fortified city at one time. We're passing through into the main entrance of the cathedral now.
We'll just, or maybe for 1 minute or half minute. I don't think we are allowed to take pictures.
Okay, that's fine.
But we'll just quietly walk in and be there. So we hear the squire singing.
Cantor singing. Is this a live performance or would this be a recording?
It's a live choir.
The mics on for that, because that was beautiful. These might be some of the same people that served the students that escaped up here to the hill today.
I'm sure they were involved in helping, and there is also a seminary, Orthodox seminary, one of these buildings. And also, for instance, there are bells on this tower, and one of the monks started ringing the bells to awake the city. Mm. When they saw this happening, the violence on the part of the government, so they just were ringing the bell. So the Orthodox Church responded right away. They were the first ones to respond.
Well, that was a beautiful moment there in the cathedral. But you were telling the story earlier about how the most beautiful moment for you was when the hot tea was served to those who were absolutely freezing. And the view stepping out from the cathedral walls at the top of the hill, looking, I guess, out toward the north and east. Is that the direction we're facing now?
We are facing south now.
And, of course, Eurovision is taking over the central part, and lots of advertising and circuses. These murals are stunning. Is there still a resentment left within the Protestant movement about the decadence that the church had poured into their buildings? Or is there...
Yeah, there is still a lot of that, but it started to change, especially with the Revolution of Dignity. There is less antagonism.
And there is extraordinary beauty to be seen in these buildings.
And so this is the street on which the students were running away from the violence.
From the bottom of the hill to the top.
Yeah, to the top. They were running up the hill.
We're heading down the hill from the top of the cathedral mount. Now, I see a lot of mix of old and new, and of course, the city center of Kiev was booming before the last of the two revolutions. And you say that, in general, the economy of the country is under great stress because of the war. We were hearing from Oleg earlier that one of the strongest felt needs, besides just having medics on the front lines, is raising up chaplains, able to bring spiritual comfort and the Word of God close to the soldiers now.
And so here, somewhere here, they were, here you see, one of the first people killed were here.
It was right here.
Yeah, and it was because...
and they were shot all the way from across
all there. From there, so it's quite a big distance. Yeah, and our prayer tent was in the middle of the place.
Did you lead them to that place?
Yes, we are going now to the place where the prayer tent.
So around this area, I imagine the protesters were scrambling for cover at different times.
Yeah, it was all in tents. It was a tent city, basically.
Where did the tents begin?
Tents, right here. One row of tents here, another row of tents here. It was all occupied with tents from both sides.
You're listening to a very unique edition of Compassion Radio today, and I just wanted to cut in here to apologize for the unusual sound quality from the streets of Kyiv, Ukraine. But this is such important material that we wanted to share with you. You can see and read all about this month's important project, which centers on that very part of the world, by visiting our website, CompassionRadio.com, or you can simply give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Okay, let's get back now to Bram's walking tour at Maidan in Kyiv, Ukraine.
So all the way down through here toward where that globe on top of the pillar is.
Absolutely, and the prayer tent was right at the globe. And also there was like a gate here, and they would check who you are, and if everything fine, you can go through. So
quickly. So the tent went up right here?
Right here, and when the revolution was over, there were no bricks here, because the protesters took the bricks to protect themselves.
So all these stones were lifted out of here to be thrown at prayer tent.
No stones, except for the square on which the prayer tent was standing.
And when the picture of this area where the prayer tent stood.
Yes, and when we moved the tent away, we were shocked to realize that it was located right on Luhansk and Donetsk, the places occupied by Russia now.
Wow.
Understand?
And this tower is like a map to the world with Kyiv at the center of it.
Yes,
and marking places around Ukraine from here.
These are the names of Ukrainian cities.
So these two cities right here mentioned are where Russia sits now occupying Ukraine.
Ironically, our prayer tent was right on these two cities.
Did that challenge you to keep praying then for those two places?
That was symbolic. We had to pray for those, after the prayer tent was removed. These are the places to pray for. Yeah, and so it shows the distance from this spot to those cities. 589 kilometers.
672 kilometers.
To Luhansk.
Amazing.
Yeah. Here was a table with Bibles and New Testaments right here. So 40 New Testaments and you can go.
And so the world, the philosophers, the news media, people come through your tent to warm themselves and talk about what was happening.
Yes.
And to show camaraderie together and be together.
Yes. It was happening right here.
And all the rest of these stones here gone because they were being used to defend themselves.
Yes.
So you literally give meaning to the idea of prayer covering. Your prayer covering literally held the stones together for this part of Ukraine, and now your prayer still holds together the parts of Ukraine that are being torn apart in other ways.
Yes, we should. Our prayer should continue and never stop. Another point, remember they show this dark smoke, right?
Yes.
The reason why they burnt those tires from vehicles, because they created a wall of dark smoke.
Right here.
Why? Because the snipers were there, and so the smoke didn't allow them to see individuals and make those shootings. So that smoke was a way of protecting as well. They couldn't see, and so it was risky for them to come further here.
Yeah.
The main stage was here, where every hour there was a prayer, microphone prayer, So the protest started right at the bottom of this stela.
Okay.
It was a small gathering, and then it was growing, growing, growing.
And though it's raining today, this is spring, it's finally coming. So there are flowers wrapped around all of the posts, so it is a bright, hopeful time of year. When you were here for the Maidan protests and all that came afterwards, it was as cold as you have remembered here.
Very cold, yeah.
Everything was hard.
Yeah,
so the students are beaten. They run up the top of the hill. They take refuge in the sanctuary.
Yes,
and
they were
then
beaten right here by the stela at night. They were sleeping, helpless, and they were just beaten. And so they ran away all the way, you know.
Yes.
There. And next day, the protest became massive, like all, yeah. And so, at the last days of the protest, there was this aggression and violence. Those bricks, it was not the act of aggression, it was the act of protection. But of course, the media, they like to twist.
Yes.
Things, right? So in the picture, it looked like this. They were aggressive, but they were protecting because there were women, children. There were some attempts to, so to say, clean up or clean Maidan. There were attempts to do it. Like in December, from 11th to 12th. But instead of running away from them, instead of being scared, many men from Kiev citizens, they called each other, and at night we drew together, and the place was full with people, and the so-called cleaning didn't happen.
Okay, so you stood your ground to hold place for the women, the children, the young people.
Yeah.
So Kiev stood together stoically. They did not come throwing stones or firing bullets. They just stood.
They
stood the ground.
Yes. Yes, I was there. It was the night from 11th to 12th of December 2013. And so I came home very exhausted. And I sensed just a responsibility. I couldn't explain why I really felt the call to go there. And my wife, she sensed that I had to be there. We could not explain it. And we knew that anything could happen to me, anything. They could kill me or beat me or, you know, anything could happen.
And the riot police moved down this street on these cobbles toward the center of Maidan.
Yes.
And then what happened?
I called a friend of mine who was a pastor, one of the pastors in the church, Dima. And I called Oleg. You
yes.
already talked to him, so
yes.
you met him. So I called these two ministers, and we agreed to meet together not far from here at Lva Tolstoho metro station.
Okay.
And so we met there and then walked from that place to here, which was the best thing to do because we wouldn't go through from the other side because the policemen and the riot police, they blocked any other way. So they tried to make a circle
to
block off so that the protesters would not receive any help.
Okay.
So they wanted to really to make a circle and just get rid of those protesters. The only way to get in was through that place. It
okay.
was not circled yet.
So the Lord led you to that spot to be able to penetrate the barricade that they had
yeah.
placed around your barricade. And so now you're on the inside again, and you went to where? Right to here?
I went to the prayer tent first to
okay.
find out what was there. When I went inside, I was surprised to see very interesting people there. I saw Christian leaders, leaders of Christian counseling movements, leaders of churches. And I was very impressed to see the people I met there, the leader of a Christian camp organization, or the leaders of a Christian publishing house. Like the best people
yes.
were there. And finally, I see the bishop. Anatoly Kaluznik, and he was in uniform, very enthusiastic, optimistic, and we were just laughing, and it was unbelievable, because right 50 meters from here, it's a danger to your life, but we were laughing in a good humor and very positive, and this was just this is just, it was a miracle, it was unbelievable. And so the main thing we could do, and probably the only thing beside prayer, was to just come here. And many men all the way, all from all ends of Kiev were just driving to Kiev, and more and more and more and more people started to fill in. the square, and finally there were so many people that it was nonsense for the riot police to continue their plan of cleaning. Too many people, too massive group of people, they were helpless against such a huge group of people. They wouldn't succeed. And so it was a victory, and by 5 in the morning it was obvious that they were defeated morally, yes, spiritually. Yes, they had uniforms, they have all the, you know, orders to clean, etc., but they never succeeded because the people just stayed. The men and the older men, 50 in their 50s, in their 60s, they came to protect their children. It was very, very impressive.
Now, where was the most violence done? Was that during the cleaning itself where the most protesters died, or
this
another
was,
day?
The cleaning attempt I'm talking about is was the first attempt, okay, on the night of December 12th. And it was the victory of peaceful protesters, and basically, morally, the government, the criminal government was defeated. And so the protest continued to the new year, and we celebrated New Year right here. It was very peaceful. It was all crowded. It was a rock concert and Ukrainian rock music. It was just powerful and very joyful.
You felt like it was all over at that point, this time for celebration?
It was the matter of time, and we were not going to leave as soon as the president resigned.
Yeah. So your protest got more focused at that point, the removal of Yanukovych.
Yeah, because of two reasons. You cannot beat your children. Yes. Violence is unacceptable. And secondly, because he was pursuing interests of not Ukraine, but the interests of Russia in his foreign affairs. So
to celebrate New Year, people have a big party. It's just a waiting game, they think. What happened?
Yeah.
And by the way, your wife's prayers got answered that night.
Yeah.
You came home.
Oh, yes. I came in the morning. I came home, and it was
celebration at your house.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a very precious moment. My mother was there too, and they were both speechless.
So you come home, but things did not stay peaceful though forever.
You
what
see,
happened?
Every day there were rumors that that pressure of the threat of cleaning or violence, that threat had been all the way through every day.
Yes.
But people just gathered together and never left. And so after the new year, it just continued and carried on. Then it just became more and more radical because more and more violence took place. This corrupt government would hire criminals for money so that they would just do mess.
No discipline, but lots of thuggery.
Yeah. No, during the peaceful revolutions, there were jewelry shops, expensive clothing, banks, etc., etc. Nothing was touched. No window was broken. Everything was restaurants, yes, McDonald's, and so on. Nothing was touched because it was peaceful and we took care of our property, right?
Yes.
So to speak. You know,
no riots.
But the violence came from the part of the corrupted government and hired those bandits or criminals hired for money to create mess and beat people and so on. So it's intensified in 2014, January and especially in February. The Jews have their Wall of Sorrows, or what's
yes,
the right name?
The Wailing Wall.
The Wailing Wall.
Yes, in Jerusalem.
And so I think the Ukrainians now, we have our own Wailing Wall. Here it is. These are the portraits of the volunteers who had been killed. It's called a Heavenly Hundred, the first 100 people who had been killed, peaceful protesters.
Jim, you did a great job with all that editing. I thank you for doing it. And I hope that our listeners have had a chance to get a little closer to the heart, the passion of the Christians who serve so faithfully their countrymen there in the Maidan Square in Center Kyiv. It led to some amazing ministry opportunities, but also it's a sacred, a holy place for them as they remember those who fell in the pursuit of freedom, something that we take for granted in our nation.
How true that is, Bram. And apologies, by the way, for having to cut in there where we did. Don't miss tomorrow's program as we continue this walking tour of Kyiv, Ukraine, right here on Compassion Radio. Now, before we leave you for the day, it just so happens that Ukraine is at the heart of this month's Christ in the Conflict project. As a special thank you this month for your support of Compassion Radio and our Christ in the Conflict project, we have a life-changing and highly entertaining movie. For your special gift of $50 or more, we'd love to send you, on DVD or Blu-ray, the powerful and highly successful theatrical release of War Room. This film demonstrates both the spiritual battle that prayer really is and beautifully portrays how God answers the desperate pleas of His children. Order yours today, and thank you so much for standing with us. Reach out to us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, we're at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can always find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.